WFXX.
The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It is time for a marvelously manic Monday edition of Let's Talk right here on everybody's favorite radio station. It's Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Man, what a weekend.
Yeah, even those guys across town, it's your favorite radio station.
It absolutely is.
Just admit it, all right?
They confess up. We understand. We know. It's all right. It actually makes perfect sense. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
Yep. Busy weekend, sports-wise, and some other things, too. So we'll be touching on that. We have a busy show today. We have two guests in our second hour. Of course, our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, is going to join us, as he does every Monday. Looks like another dry, relatively cool or comfy week. All right, we got that little bit of, well, depending on where you were, maybe, a little bit of rain there on Saturday. At my house this morning, it was 35 degrees. Yo! The frost advisory is now lifted. That was until, I think, 8. I didn't see any frost at my place. Now, on my drive into the studio this morning, I passed a soybean field. I kind of looked over. I'm like, that's looking a little frosty over there. Okay. Yes, chilly, maybe especially northern part of Center County up to our Clinton County friends, maybe west over to Clearfield County and so on, might have a little or might have had a little frost this morning. Woo! We have October weather and early September. Okay. So we're going to find out more from Joe on weather coming up next hour. We're also going to have a guest we've had on before, Carol Cunaholm from the group Fair Districts PA. All this talk around the country about states wanting to redistrict themselves. Texas wants to go more red. California wants to go more blue. Some other states have made some noise. Pennsylvania, well, we'll find out. So we're going to talk with Carol. We've had her on before. Her group is not a fan of the fancy term gerrymandering. All right, not named after, well, yeah, actually it was named after a guy named Jerry, so to speak, from like 200 years ago, whenever that was. So we're going to talk with Carol, like, okay, what the heck is going on here? Is it actually going to make a difference once it's all said and done, whenever that is? And, yes, what about us here, Pennsylvania? These are congressional districts. And, yes, if you followed this story at all over the last weeks or, I don't know, maybe a couple of months, actually, yeah, you can do some web searching. There are some congressional districts around the country. What was the one? I said it looks like a snake. What did you say it looked like? You didn't say snake. You had some other body part?
A protrusion.
It looks like a certain body part.
That's the way we would clean that up for the kids.
And, yeah, you look at this like, who on earth drew that up? Where did that come from? I'd have to look up a Pennsylvania map to see what congressional districts are shaped like. All right. Now, again, the whole deal with congressional districts all across the country, every district is supposed to have roughly the same number of people. All right. So that would make every congressional district equal. They have the same number of people. Well, depending on where you live, you've got a, like, for instance, Glenn Thompson is our local congressman. His district is huge for land. I mean, a big piece of ground. Meanwhile, go down to Philadelphia. It's really small. All right, but it's roughly the same number of people. So if they do all this stuff, is it going to make a difference anyway? We'll talk with Carol coming up in the next hour. All right, let's see. Lots of things to cover today. Now, first off, we have a program returning to our airwaves today. Mr.
What?
Mr. Ironhead, you want to spill the beans?
All right.
Come on.
Let's Talk is back on the airwaves from 8 to 10.
Not us. We're here every day. Well, every weekday. Now, this is a show returning.
We're back.
We're returning.
We'll return again tomorrow. We'll be back the following
day. I'm feeling like lunch. I could use some lunch.
You know, now that you mention it, I could go for a good hoagie.
Oh, you're talking about Late Lunch with Chris Vivanani. That returns. It'll be every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And Chris is, I think we could fairly say, a Penn State football aficionado.
Oh, yay.
Knows a lot about the history of the Nittany Lions. Chris knows a lot about a lot of things. He's a very sharp cookie and has been instrumental on helping the technical side of the Goon and Iron Head show, as well as the Players Show, the Penn State Players Show, which also is back on the airwaves tonight. The Dear Goon and Landon Tangwall will team up. They'll be over at the Penn State golf courses, and they will have the Players Show this evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Likely an offensive lineman will join them for this evening's show. But you can listen for that. You can also stop on over at the Penn State golf courses and take in the show in person there in the 19th hole. Always a good time. That'll be every Monday from 6 to 7 throughout the football season. But Chris's show, he is also very well connected. Lots of friends on the beat for Penn State football. He'll delve into some other things. He is a diehard Eagles and Phillies fan as well, but his show will focus overwhelmingly on Penn State football and college football. And again, that show returns to the airwaves today from 2 to 3. It'll be every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday moving forward. So, if you're paying close attention, that means we now have local programming here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox from 8 to 10 every weekday morning, from noon to 6 every weekday. And again, we're adding to that, of course, from the 7 a.m. to noon block on Saturdays, we also have local programming. And then on Sunday mornings after home games, and hey, look at this, there's another home game this weekend. There will be from the student bookstore, Landon Tangwall and Goon teaming up yet again. They'll provide post-game analysis of the previous day's game this week. If you're paying close attention to the schedule, they'll be talking about the Penn State Villanova game, which is going to be contested on Saturday. They will talk about it with you on Sunday, or to you on Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Nittany Lions, how did they do? Stay tuned. Nobody knows. We're going to tell you all about it.
Nobody knows.
Coming up in the next segment, people are just sitting on the edge of their seat. Ironhead, what happened? Did they win? Did they lose? Did they look good? Nobody knows. We're going to tell you about it. See, it's a tease. Everybody's, man, I wonder what happened to Penn State football. We'll tell you. Coming up in the next segment, you got to stay tuned to find out how your Nittany Lions did this weekend in the second segment of
I'll try not to spill the beans.
Big show today.
Right.
Are they 1-1? Are they 2-0? We're going to tell you. You got to stay tuned.
Okay.
Can't spill the beans just now. While we're at it, our lineup today, after this program, we hand it over to some fellow by the name of Dan Patrick. I think this kid has a chance to make a name for himself in the biz.
He's pretty good.
Joe Lidnowsky and the Pennsylvania Sports Network rolls your way from noon to 2. Then again, Chris Buchanani back on the airwaves here from 2 to 3. Then it's Jim Galati with the Keystone Kickoff Show. Lots more Penn State football talk. And I suspect Jed Donahue will also have some Penn State football talk from 4 to 6 this afternoon with the Pennsylvania Sports Network. Then again, we have the Penn State Players Show, which will run from 6 to 7 with Goon and Landon Tangwall. And then the opening weekend of the National Football League schedule wraps up tonight
with a showdown, trying to build it up,
yeah,
between the Bears and the Vikings in Chicago. Chi-Town, I call it. 7 o'clock will be the airtime for our coverage of that contest this evening here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
All right, there we go. All right, other things to start a new week. Now, it was chilly last night.
Ooh,
chilly. All right.
Now I want some chili.
How many folks?
That would hit the spot today.
How many folks actually turned on the heat last night? I'll be honest, at my house, we didn't do that. All right, it was still,
we didn't do that.
I don't know, call it residual warmth or
when
something.
When we woke up this morning, we kind of wished that we had, but we did not.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I bet some folks probably did.
Chili.
Turned the heat on last night. Well, I've got a blurb here from the Bottom Line Personal newsletter, which is one that I get. I like these folks. They're great. They've got all kinds of stories about all kinds of topics and kind of how-tos and background information. Really good stuff. So in their most recent issue, they quote an expert, if you have heating oil, in other words, you heat your home with oil. It says here, heating oil likely will cost less than $3 per gallon this winter. That's according to an analyst. It says here, that's below recent prices and suggests that homeowners need not rush to have their tanks filled before temperatures drop, like, say, last night. Whoops. Of course, Trump and friends are drill, baby, drill, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Right now, at least, there isn't any craziness going on in other parts of the world, like extreme, like Middle East craziness and so on. Canadian tariffs, yeah, we get some stuff from Canada. We'll have to keep an eye on that. According to the expert, he says those situations are as likely to improve as to deteriorate. So, in other words, we're probably going to hold our own. Propane. Now, how many of you have a propane tank for heating or cooking or, you know, fireplace or something like that? Now, this is a national average. It says in this story, propane prices should remain roughly at current levels, around $2.62 a gallon. Now, I read that. I thought, all right, cool. That's good. I have a propane tank at my house for some stuff. I filled it up actually a few weeks ago now. I paid more than $2.62 a gallon.
Oh, did you?
I did. And so either I'm thinking, okay, Pennsylvania taxes again or what the heck? Ugh. Anyway, so apparently you don't have to rush out to get your heating oil. There's plenty of heating oil out there. Frankly, after last night, if you're a little empty, maybe now is not a bad time. That might be a good thing.
Oh, and if you're a Ravens fan, you probably are a little empty. Stay tuned. We'll tell you all about it coming up in the second segment of today's big show. It also happens to be September 8th, Monday, September 8th. And ladies and gentlemen, that means...
I like this one already.
Space, a final frontier. Whoosh. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Cool.
Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds.
What a cool ship.
To seek out new life and new civilizations.
Absolutely.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Whoosh. My favorite show.
Yep, love it. Han Solo, Chewbacca.
No,
all of the fun.
No,
that's the wrong one. What?
That's Star Wars.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Star Trek.
It is Star Trek Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Star Trek Day is today because it was on this date, September 8th, 1966. That's like over a decade
ago.
That's
a long time.
The television series pilot known as Star Trek was introduced on American television. And, you know, had a pretty good run. Had a couple of fans along the way. Captain James T. Kirk, first officer and science officer Spock.
Mr. Spock.
Chief Medical Officer Bones
McCoy.
Leonard McCoy. All part of the Star Trek Enterprise. See what I did there?
Oh, that's very cute. Yeah.
So enjoy Star Trek Day here as you see fit. It is also National
Boss Employee Exchange Day.
What the heck is that?
Well,
what is that?
This is the day.
What are we exchanging?
Each year, on the Monday following Labor Day, National Boss Employee Exchange Day offers an opportunity. It's an opportunity, Scott, to see how the other half of the business world works.
Okay.
While bosses and employees often have brainstorming sessions, exchanging positions provides insight into the business. When done with planning and communication, the exchange can lead to successful business solutions, Scott. Employees gain confidence and leadership skills. Another benefit from the role reversal includes the added respect or improvements to workflows. Comparing notes following the exchange will be a vital part of the process, you see. Additionally, those discussions should be in the spirit of the day. Take advantage of the knowledge gained and present ideas that will advance the business. Now, most bosses have many employees. One way to execute the experience is by having team members nominate one person. I nominate me to swap places with the boss. Not only does this afford a respected member of the team the opportunity to bring feedback to the group, but it also places the boss squarely on the team. The hands-on experience will provide a good leader with insight normally overlooked. Or so, that is how ideally the day would go.
Okay.
It is National Boss Employee Exchange Day.
Have fun with that.
I don't know if... I'm not aware of any businesses that actually take part in
this.
But that does sound like kind of a fun opportunity.
It's like, who invents this stuff?
And it is also National Pediatric Hematology/Oncology Nurses Day. Thank you, dear nurses, for all you do. That is vital work, and it is the difference you folks make. I have some folks who have gone through some very tough situations, and those folks are beyond amazing. So, if you know such a nurse, actually, if you know any nurse, it's not Nurses Day. This is specific to pediatric hematology and oncology. But I'm going to tell you, if you run into a nurse today, just a big thank you for all you do. And I guess, in particular, if you know a pediatric hematology or oncology nurse, maybe an extra big thank you. Like, any nurse, hey, thank you. A pediatric hematology or oncology nurse today. Thank you.
Okay,
how are we?
You are seriously wound up, which is a good thing today.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm a little biased. I have a daughter who's a nurse, so yes, nurses are very, very important.
Well,
so
give her a big megaphone thank you today, would you?
I'm not sure what oncology. I don't think she's one of those. She's just a nurse. So there we go.
Yeah.
All right. If you missed this from Saturday night, the Powerball.
Saturday night.
Remember the Powerball?
$1.8 billion.
Sure enough, if you missed it somehow, maybe you left your ticket in your wallet or your purse.
We'll go down
there were two winners last night. Not here. Well, the big winners, we should say. Two big winners in Texas and Missouri. Now, can you imagine either you stayed? They always
there's an SEC bias in these numbers. I'm picking up on it, Gazy.
Yeah, Paul Feinbaum.
No Big Ten states?
Not in this case.
I smell a conspiracy.
I smell a lot of things. Well, today, actually, I don't.
Did the AP voters have anything to do with this? This is they're overrating the numbers in the SEC states, I tell you, Gazy.
This is a lottery. It's a lottery.
Oh, that's what they want you to believe.
I don't think the AP is involved with this one.
Hmm.
But they always have these lottery drawings, usually like our time, late at night, 11 o'clock at night or something like that. I didn't stay up for this Saturday night, for goodness sake.
Oh, you
to
missed
bed.
The big
All
moment.
Right. So I woke up Sunday morning, yesterday morning, and, checked news. I always do that. And I'm like, oh, two winners. Oh, shoot, I didn't win because I had one whole ticket. And I didn't get one number.
Loser.
But can you imagine this person? I don't know.
I don't know
if it's just a person or if it's a group. You know, people pool their money and somebody buys tickets and they share the money and all that sort of stuff. Can you imagine you got your ticket and there's the six numbers? And
yes.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine it. Yes.
$900 million each. For these two, we'll say two people.
Oh, not even a billion?
No.
I mean, it still would be pretty
darn
good,
close.
Guess,
okay. Now, again, you got two ways to go if you don't know this. You can get the annuity, which I believe is a 20-year payout. Now, if you go for the annuity, you will get, roughly speaking, $900 million. Okay. If you go, and of course they break it up
you got to dole some of that out.
You got to break it up into 20 parts. If you get the lump sum payment, like I want my money right now, it's actually about half that. So these two folks would have gotten or will get somewhere around $450 million before taxes. I think I got that right. Before taxes. And I read some blurb online this morning. You know, for the two winners, good luck on your retirement. Congratulations and good luck on your retirement, because that's probably what these folks are going to do. Now, the next Powerball jackpot, I believe, is tonight. It's $20 million. That's when it does a reset, that's what you go down to, $20 million, as opposed to $1.8 billion.
What am I supposed to do with $20 million?
Holy mackerel, that's crazy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, what did the Penn State football team do Saturday?
An anxious community awaits to hear. What could have happened Saturday?
What happened?
Yeah. We know. We saw the game. We're going to share it with you.
Okay. And a lot of other things.
Well, yeah, we'll mention some other stuff.
We'll have a little open line time later. Again, we have guests in our second hour this morning. Got a busy show. So sit back and enjoy it. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, and, well, I know you're all waiting with bated breath. What in the world happened
over
the weekend? Did Penn State win or lose? They won!
Hey! Oh, yeah, we knew that.
What?
We knew
34-0 was the score.
Not bad.
They beat Florida International.
Yes, they did.
FIU.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Some people
for
call
short,
it.
Yeah. Too many syllables.
Yeah, people kept missing the I when they were telling me about FIU. I was, it was weird. I don't know.
Who
what,
were you talking
yeah,
to?
A lot
I
of
don't
people,
know.
Well, a lot of friends. A lot of. Anyways, Penn State football now 2-0, but 1-0 this week. 1-0.
1-0, yes.
They're going to try to be 1-0 this week again when the mighty Villanova Wildcats come calling for a 3:30 kickoff Saturday at Beaver Stadium. This past Saturday, I think we could safely say this was not the all-time best game for Drew Aller. Just had trouble finding a rhythm. Had some great passes in along the way, but just never really found a rhythm. Did finish 19 of 33 for 200 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions again. But offense struggled a bit here. Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton did each have a rushing touchdown, and they become the first Penn State classmates to each surpass 3,000 career rushing yards. Defensive tackle Alonzo Ford also had an interception. And freshman defensive end Chaz Coleman, yeah, he's going to be pretty good.
he had a
forced fumble. Man, that dude is, I mean, they've been talking about him all preseason camp. But he had a good first showing last week. But, man, Saturday was hard not to notice Mr. Coleman out there. He's special. Linebacker Tony Rojas led the defense with 10 tackles. Dom DeLuca had a blocked punt. Ryan Barker was 2 for 3 in field goal attempts. And Gabe Wosu had himself a punt, a 67-yard punt.
He boomed that thing
early in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he's kind of fun to watch. Nittany Lions will now close out the non-conference schedule against Villanova Saturday in a 3:30 kickoff at Beaver Stadium. The Nittany Lions remain second behind Ohio State in both the AP and the coaches' polls. I saw a bunch of Penn State fans posting, that's not the number two team in the country. No, it is. Yeah, that's the number two team. Ohio State's number one, Penn State's number two. In the AP poll, LSU is third, with Oregon fourth and Miami fifth. Illinois is up to ninth, with Indiana 22nd and Michigan falling to 23rd. A record 11 SEC teams are in the AP top 25. In the coaches poll, Georgia is third, LSU fourth, and Oregon fifth. Illinois is also ninth in the coaches' rankings, with Indiana at number 19 and Michigan checking in at number 22. And more college football talk throughout the week here. It was an interesting weekend on many, many different fronts. Penn State women's volleyball team sweeping New Hampshire yesterday in Rec Hall to snap a three-match losing streak. Emmy Selman led Penn State with 11 kills in the 25-11, 25-15, 25-20 victory. Kennedy Martin also had 7 kills and 3 aces. The Nittany Lions, by the way, finished with 11 aces in 3 sets. That's pretty good, yeah. On Friday night, Penn State was swept by Kentucky 25-21. 25-16 and 25-23. Kennedy Martin had 18 kills for the Nittany Lions in that loss, and Addie Lyon had 36 assists. Jillian Grimes had 12 digs. Now, Addie Lyon was the setter Friday night because it was announced earlier in the day that Penn State's Izzy Stark would not be playing in that match. As that match got underway, the sophomore star announced on Instagram that she is stepping away from volleyball for the remainder of the season. Stark saying she needs to prioritize her mental health, and she wrote, quote, "Over the past several months, I've been facing challenges that have taken a toll on me mentally and emotionally. This is not goodbye forever. It's simply a pause to focus on healing and growth," unquote. She also did ask that her privacy be respected. Penn State, now 3-3 on the season. The Nittany Lions will host Bucknell tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in Rec Hall. The Penn State women's soccer team scored all of its goals in the second half and pulled away from Liberty for a 3-0 victory in Lynchburg yesterday. Aubrey Culpa, Julia Raich, and Lily Berger scored the Penn State goals. Riley Gleason added a couple of assists. The Nittany Lions now 4-2-1 on the season. Penn State field hockey team upsetting ninth-ranked St. Joseph's in overtime 2-1. Nuke Nuvers had the Penn State goal in regulation, and then Olivia Marthins scored the game winner on an assist from Caitlin Strouser. Nittany Lions also got by Delaware in double overtime Friday, 3-2. Elgin scored the game winner in that one for the Nittany Lions, who are now 2-1 on the season. On Friday night, the Penn State men's soccer team cruising to a 5-0 victory over Mercyhurst at Jeffrey Field. 5 different Nittany Lions got in the scoring column. Van Danielson, Matawos Rumley, Christian Dion, Samuel Ovesen, and Morgan Marshall all scored for the Nittany Lions. Jonathan Evans had 3 saves in goal for Penn State. The Nittany Lions improving to 2-1 on the season. Just underway down in South Carolina, the Penn State women's golf team in action today and tomorrow at the 21st Annual Cougar Classic at the College of Charleston in South Carolina. 17 teams are competing in the 2-day event, with Penn State and Maryland as the only Big Ten teams in the field. An absolute thriller in high school football Friday night. Harrisburg needed double overtime to finally get by State College in a mid-Penn showdown, 48-45. Princeton Dent ran for 171 yards and a touchdown, and Jayon Lewis scored the winning touchdown for the Cougars. State High jumped out to a 13-0 lead in the first quarter. Harrisburg then reeled off 34 unanswered points, and now they're just putting that one away. But
The Little Lions rallied 21 fourth quarter points. Matt Gall got things rolling. He blocked a punt and returned it 40 yards for one of the Little Lions touchdowns. Then Deontay Sheffy, who played for State College before he played for Harrisburg, before he played again for State College.
Oh, yeah.
He added a 10-yard touchdown run. And Connor Kolka, the sophomore quarterback, man, does he look good. He threw his second touchdown pass of the night to freshman Max Vendemia before the two connected again on the two-point conversion. Although Vendemia fumbled, the ball was recovered by Hank Lustig of State College in the end zone. Kolka also threw a touchdown pass to Keen Furmanak in the first overtime and scored on a two-point conversion to force the second OT. Little Lions taking the lead in that second OT on a Shane Markowski 27-yard field goal before Harrisburg responded with the touchdown to win it. Little Lions now 2-1. Cougars are off to a 3-0 start this season, and they survived a gauntlet of a start to the season. Those first three games, Imhotep, McDevitt, and State College, and Harrisburg survives it just fine. Thank you very much. Bald Eagle area using a powerful ground game to grind out a 21-0 victory over Penns Valley Friday night. Nate McCulley rushed for 175 yards for the Eagles. Teammate Grady Fisher, wide receiver, ran for a couple of touchdowns and a two-point conversion. Belfont losing a defensive struggle to Bishop Guilfoyle Friday 7-0. Jake Kissel with the only touchdown of the game for the Marauders. And despite a DeMarcus Law touchdown run, Phillipsburg Osceola lost for the first time this season, falling to Clearfield 27-15. State College boys soccer team defeating Central Mountain Saturday by a final of 4-1. Well, that was quite the debut for Aaron Rodgers. Pittsburgh Steelers headed to the Super Bowl, baby! Here we go!
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go.
One game.
Everybody
one
up.
Game.
The
one.
Rodgers bandwagon.
One game. One game.
Steelers are the team to beat. Everybody agrees.
Oh, yeah.
They are, probably not going to lose a game this year.
Oh, no.
There were some concerns going in. Everything has been answered. The Steelers are rolling to the Super Bowl. Nothing to worry about here.
That's not the game I watched yesterday.
You hush up over there. Rodgers complete. We have Aaron Rodgers. He completed 22 of 30 passes for 244 yards and not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen. And just as everyone expected, I think we talked about this. I told you on Friday, look for this Rodgers to Skowronek connection. It's probably going to be dynamite right out of the gate.
I'm going to have to dig into the files for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, remember the discussion? I'm like, no. I remember telling everybody, probably the first touchdown pass. I know they have DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin and all those tight ends. But I remember saying, I think Skowronek will be the guy that scores. He'll be on the other end of that.
I'll have
Rodgers
to check
pass.
The files.
I was right again. Skowronek, yep, that's just as we all expected. Gets the first touchdown of the year for the Steelers. Chris Bosworth, he's pretty good. He connected on a career-long 60-yard field goal to set the final score, which was 34 for the Steelers. 32 for the Jets. The higher score wins. This isn't golf.
Yes.
And so the Steelers,
yes.
they're 1-0. The Jets are 0-1. Bosworth also connected on a 56-yard field goal. And how about Jalen Ramsey making his Steelers debut? He broke up a fourth down pass attempt to seal the game for Pittsburgh. Kenneth Gainwell caused a fumble on a kickoff return by Xavier Gibson early in the fourth quarter. That was also a key play, and there's that Skowronek again. He recovered it a couple of plays later. It was Calvin Austin catching one of Rodgers' four touchdown passes to put Pittsburgh up at the time. The Steelers now will host the Seahawks in the home opener Sunday at 1 p.m. Kind of felt like a home opener there at the New York Jets.
Almost anywhere the Steelers go.
Just saying. Yeah. It was a good showing for Steelers Nation. out there. All right. Other action. If you missed it Friday night, the Chargers did beat the Chiefs 27-21. Also, yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals edged the Cleveland Browns 17-16. Last night, wow, what a game. The Buffalo Bills rallied late and pulled out the 41-40 victory over the Baltimore Ravens. Let's hear it for your Buffalo Bills, ladies and gentlemen.
Go Bills.
That's just a job well
Bills
done.
Mafia, yeah.
Packers beat the Lions 27-23. Some fellow by the name of Micah Parsons had a pretty good debut for Green Bay, posted his first sack as a member of the Packers. The Rams beat the Texans 14-9. 49ers top the Seahawks 17-13. So Seattle comes in 0-1 to the 1-0 Steelers this coming Sunday. The Broncos beat the Titans 20-12. Some work to be done there on the offensive side for the Titans. The Jacksonville Jaguars top the Carolina Panthers. Weather delay in that one, but the Jaguars get the 26-10 win. The Russell Wilson experiment is not off to a strong start for the New York Giants. The Commanders won 21-6. And it seems likely that Wilson may be yanked, and one Jackson Dart may make his starting debut for the Giants this coming week. Cardinals defeated the Saints yesterday 20-13. Raiders looked pretty good. They got a 20-13 win over the Patriots. The Dolphins did not look pretty good. That offense, not on the same page. Tyler Warren did look pretty good. 7 catches in his debut for the Colts. Indianapolis romps 33-8 over Miami. And it was the Buccaneers holding off the Falcons by a final of 23-20 yesterday. And again, we will have the Monday night game tonight with the Minnesota Vikings visiting the Chicago Bears. Never know what will happen when those two get together. Well, yeah, you do. The Vikings will win. The Brewers finished off a 3-game sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates with a 10-2 victory yesterday. Bubba Chandler, well, that's not the way that was supposed to go. In his first major league start, he gave up 9 runs on 9 hits with 3 walks and 3 strikeouts in 2 2/3 innings. The Marlins salvaged the final game of their series with the Phillies yesterday 5-4, but Philadelphia did win the first 2 games, and the Phillies now have a 7-game lead over the New York Mets in the National League East. And, well, that is a little check of what we like to call sports from a very busy weekend.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll have a little open line time. Again, we have guests coming up in the next hour. I've got a few sportsy things,
yeah.
All right, but let's take our break right here.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Yes, it was quite a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. We'll talk more about it when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports.
The Fox.
We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, where they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers and Scott Giese, and yes, it could be you. Your phone calls welcome at 814-954-7266. Everybody all fired up, really pleased with how Penn State football looked. Everybody's like, man, there's nobody beating the Nittany Lions this year. Not if they play like that. They were just thrilled. Everybody high-fiving in the parking lots as we were coming out of the stadium. And
okay.
No?
Not really?
No, maybe
I wasn't at the game. I was watching on TV.
Not quite that effusive.
Really?
Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I have one question. Why does Penn State suit up 99 players?
Why do they suit up 99 players?
Yes, their roster says 99 players every game.
Okay.
Why do they suit up many players?
I don't know. You got an answer for that? I don't know. That's all the guys on the roster?
Yeah, I think it's just that they, for the home games, I think they suit up everybody that's healthy.
Yeah, that's for a home game. Not for an away game, they probably don't do that.
Well, no, you're limited.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was just curious. I thought maybe that would, you know, I've always wondered why, you know, because when you get the Gazette, it says a roster from 1 to 99. I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of players.
That's a lot of guys.
Well, yeah. And it's actually more than because some of the there are duplicate players for some of the jersey numbers, which has occasionally caused. I mean, it's you can't have like two number 10s on offense. So you can have two number 10s, but one has to be a defensive player and one an offensive player. But so they do have duplicate jersey numbers on there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. But yeah, they want everybody. If you're on the team and you're healthy, they want you suiting up for the home games.
Sure.
They'll do what they can to get everybody in when the opportunity arises. Thought there might be a little more opportunity this past Saturday than what it ended up being.
I think there will be opportunity this Saturday.
I think so, too, but I really thought so last week,
all right,
too.
FIU and Villanova are not at the same level.
No, that is true.
I mean, Villanova. I mean, basketball, what a great game. Football, anyway. All right, again, 814-954-7266. We got open phones for about 10 minutes here, and then we have some guests in our second hour.
Villanova coming off a big win on Saturday, though.
Who?
Villanova.
Oh, Villanova?
Yeah, got a big win on Saturday.
They won their game against whom?
They hammered Colgate.
Colgate.
And when I say hammered, I mean 24-7.
The toothpaste people. Okay, Colgate. Yeah, all right. Anyway. All right, let's see. Boy, so many different directions to go in. Well, let me start with this. All right, so on Saturday afternoon, while you folks were enjoying the football game,
yeah,
I was doing something that I've never done before. I was the volleyball announcer at Rec Hall.
Oh.
Now, not for Penn State.
Guessing that you went streaking down College Avenue.
No.
All right. Well,
I haven't done that either, and I doubt that I will. So
safer way to go.
Terribly
yeah.
Sorry. Now, it wasn't Penn State. Penn State played Friday night and yesterday.
They sure did.
The two teams they played this weekend were Kentucky and New Hampshire.
That is true.
And so those two played each other on Saturday. And, yes, there were very few people in Rec Hall. It was interesting. Huh. Now, if you go grab a map, all right, go grab a map, find Kentucky, find New Hampshire, and find us on the map. Roughly, we're in between those two, all right? So you're thinking, okay, who's going to have more fans actually go to this match?
The Wildcats like to meet in the middle.
Well, yeah, both teams were Wildcats. That was hilarious. Yeah, that was pretty cool. By my simple count, it looked like New Hampshire had more fans there than Kentucky.
Huh, that is surprising.
Which I find interesting because Kentucky is really good. I mean,
very good. Yeah.
They took apart Penn State Friday night. I believe, if I recall, against New Hampshire, the final set, the final score was 25-4. I mean, that is a destruction. That Kentucky group is really, really good. I mean, I spent most of my afternoon Saturday just saying, "Point Kentucky! Point Kentucky!
Yep.
Point Kentucky!" That was, I could have recorded myself and just pushed a button. Just, there it is again. There it is again. But it was kind of fun. I can't say I've been down on the floor at Rec Hall for a very long time. Everybody down there was very helpful. Breaking in the rookie, if you will, me. Easy work if you can get it. I don't think I'll get it again, but what the hey. All right, it depends on Penn State's schedule. Everybody else pretty much was over at the stadium. So, but it was kind of fun. I had a good time Saturday afternoon at the volleyball match.
Cool.
Now, of course, there was the football game. Now, I did not realize this until after the game. That just never occurred to me. Penn State had no turnovers, and they had no penalties. And I thought,
one penalty, but yeah.
They did? What?
Yeah.
Which one?
Was it?
I thought they had none.
No, they had one.
They had one penalty.
And I guess it they had two kickoffs that went out of bounds. Now, the penalty flag is thrown on those, but they don't officially, I guess, go down as penalties, which I do think is a little confusing.
Okay. All right.
But
they
did have trying to grab my, but yeah, they had one penalty on the afternoon.
Still, that's pretty good. No turnovers, one penalty. So it was a pretty clean game from the Penn State side of things. You know, sometimes you hear about an athlete referred to as a freak. Chaz Coleman is a freak.
Yes.
That guy's a freak. I mean, that late play where he strips and he grabs it and almost goes in for a touchdown, I'm thinking, this kid's a freshman. Man, watch out for this kid. Whoa. He's big. He's actually, I mean, he's a big, tall kid. 250, I think he goes. But he does not look 250. And I'm watching this kid like, man, yeah, this is the next big thing right here. This kid is really good.
Ironhead-esque is, I think, the description.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see the comparison.
I thought.
Now, of course, people complain because people complain. All right, Penn State wins 34-0. Anytime you put a nothing on the board, that's pretty darn good.
That is good.
I don't care if you're playing Little Sisters of the Poor. All right, zero is good. I guess offense. Is anybody talking offensive line issues? They got two games in now, and the offensive line. We were told this could be the greatest offensive line in school history. I'm not seeing it yet.
The penalty, I'm like, I know it was something. So it was the two-point conversion.
They
had the holding call Nick Dawkins on what would have been Drew Shelton with the Saquon Barkley celebration. But it was, one holding penalty.
That's what
on
it was.
The day. And then, again, it's because I did have a couple of people, the penalty flag is thrown on those out-of-bounds kickoffs, but they don't get officially – that's not listed as a penalty. It just does add to the starting point for the opponent by 10 yards. They get a better spot.
Now, some Penn State fans are freaking out. Oregon beat Oklahoma State 69-3 Saturday. I mean, that was just a destruction. And Oklahoma State is allegedly a half-decent team. So some Penn State fans are kind of wetting their pants here in about 3 weeks, like, oh, my God. Whoa, slow down. I think Oklahoma State's really bad this year. They're just bad. All right? So just one step at a time. All right? Anyway. Steelers got a win yesterday. Now, again, it's interesting what people talk about. This is from ex-Twitter. All right. Some person, don't know who he is, posted something yesterday. He said, the Steelers have had this better than 500 streak for like Mike Tomlin's whole career.
That is correct.
All those years. But this person wrote, would the Steelers be over 500 the past 6 to 7 years if they didn't have Chris Boswell? I think the answer is probably no. All right. That guy. Now, again, 60-yard field goal. And if you watch the game, I swear that thing could have gone 70. I mean, he nailed it. He crushed it.
And right down the middle.
There's always usually a person beyond the goalpost, and that guy's job is supposed to, get the ball. And this guy caught the ball up against the wall behind the goalpost. I'm thinking, man, Boswell really tagged that one. That was awesome. So, Jets certainly ran the ball yesterday. Ran. I thought the Steelers were supposed to fix that. Well, it's only one game. Anyway. If anything, this weekend shows, and this is a lesson for young athletes especially, that a game is not over until it is absolutely over.
True.
Now, you had the Bills-Ravens last night. I went to bed before halftime. I was beat. And so this morning, I checked it out. I'm like, holy crap, look what happened there. Whoa, that's amazing. The Bills are down 15 points with 4 minutes left and somehow won the game. Unbelievable. Although, once again, the Ravens can't finish the deal. And, Lamar Jackson got into it with a fan last night.
Little shove.
That was unfortunate, okay? But I can imagine his frustration is like, here we go again. We can't finish. So Ravens fans are probably moaning down in Baltimore this morning because, like, what the heck just happened there? Anyway. And then we have the Orioles. Oh, I have to mention the Orioles, all right? Saturday night, if you missed this, they're playing the Dodgers. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has a no-hitter for the Dodgers going into the ninth inning. It's 3-0. He gets the first guy out on a strikeout. He gets the second guy out on a fly ball. Next up comes Jackson Holliday, young phenom player. 2-1 count. In this case, Yamamoto grooved one, and Holliday tagged it. just got over the fence for a home run. There goes the no-hitter. Oh, tough break. Then Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, comes out, pulls Yamamoto. Big mistake.
Oh, boy.
They go to the bullpen. Now it's 3-1. The next guy comes in, gives up a double, hits a batter with a pitch, walks a guy. Then he walks another guy. Now that forces in a run. So now it's 3-2. The bases are loaded. And they pulls that guy who had a I'll see if he's a Dodger next season. That was bad. Bring in the next guy. Next guy gives up a two-run single. Orioles win when they were one out away from a no-hitter. And I have to believe that was the greatest bottom of the ninth in Major League Baseball history. That was unbelievable. That game was over. Over, right? Over. No-hitter. Uh-uh. Orioles win.
Not over.
Orioles win. Let's take a break. We've got guests coming up. We've got some good topics to talk about, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
It is a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk that we have in play here. Fine-looking Monday at that. Jeff and Scott with you, and Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. We'll talk all things weather coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
All right, let's switch to newsy stuff. All right, now first off, let's mention here real quick, didn't mention this earlier, tomorrow our friend Jay Paterno is going to join us. Jay's new book just came out over the weekend. It is not about bar crawling College Avenue, but the name of the book is Blitzed, so we're going to have some fun with Jay tomorrow.
Mm.
And I'm sure somewhere in there we'll talk a little football. Just, you know, that's not the purpose of the book. It's an interesting book. We'll let Jay, you know, tell us all about it tomorrow. Thursday, local state representative Paul Taycock is going to join us. Yes, we're still waiting on a state budget. Waiting, waiting, waiting.
Boy, you know that deadline's coming up. They'll have to get that in before the deadline, won't they, Scott?
June 30th. It's now September.
Huh.
And some folks are really scrambling out there for money. School districts,
yes,
and bus lines and stuff like that.
Lots of folks.
So Representative Taycock will join us on Thursday. Talk a lot of local issues. What the heck is going on with Rockview Prison? That falls in his zone. We're still waiting. For goodness sakes, this was supposed to be done in May. It's now September. What the heck is so? We got lots of good stuff coming up this week. Now, if you follow news at all, we hope you do, you've seen this stuff around the country where certain states like Texas and California now, I don't know, maybe Missouri, possibly, I'm not sure, one or two others in there, they want to change around their congressional districts, I guess because they can, because they want to swing the numbers in a certain direction. Folks, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So earlier this year, we had a guest from Fair Districts, Pennsylvania, which is sort of along the lines of this particular topic. And we welcome back to our show Carol Cunningham from Fair Districts, PA. Carol, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. When did we have you on? I didn't look. That was back in the spring, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was early spring. Yep.
All right. And none of this stuff that's been happening recently, Texas got this started. Now California's jumped on the bandwagon. I mentioned Missouri because I swear I saw Missouri wants to try to do something. None of that, was any of that on the radar back in the spring?
No, we had no idea this was going to be coming toward us.
Okay, so.
Absolutely none.
Yeah,
yep.
Surprise! All right, there we go. Well, first, let's start with some background, all right, for folks,
sure.
Maybe, Carol, that maybe missed when you joined us earlier this year. Tell us about yourself, what's your background, and then what exactly is Fair Districts PA? Talk about your organization and what they do.
Sure. So I never had any interest in any of this until about I was a youth pastor, and I worked with a church in a fairly affluent community outside of Philly, and we worked in a partnership with a church in Philly. And I was puzzled at the fact that the funding for schools was so strangely inequitable, and I started trying to understand that. That led me to look at what happens in Harrisburg, because that inequity is baked into our legislative process, and that led me to the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania, and that led me to a meeting where Senator Lisa Boscola from the Lehigh Valley was working on a bill to create an independent redistricting commission, and I had never heard of redistricting. I had no idea what any of this was about, and I was suddenly on a really steep learning curve. So in that meeting, she said, unless advocates make a lot of noise, this will never happen. And I thought, wait, these are legislators who see a problem, they want to fix it, and they're looking at me and thinking I need to do something. And I've been trying to understand since then, what does that mean? So we started Fair Districts PA in January 2016. It's almost 10 years now. That meeting in Lisa Boscola's office was 10 years ago, almost exactly. And I've been trying to learn ever since what is redistricting and what is gerrymandering. So I'll just explain those two words, because everywhere I go, I find people who kind of know what those are about. But redistricting happens every 10 years normally after the national census. So the national census is always the year that ends in zero, and redistricting by law has to take place in the year after that, because the districts need to be rebalanced so that populations are basically even between the districts. So census happens in the years that end in zero. Redistricting happens in the years that end in one. And then gerrymandering is manipulating that redistricting process to draw district lines that benefit one party or the other. And that's been going on since the word was originally from 1812, when Governor Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts signed off on a map that had a district that looked like a salamander. So the press called it gerrymander, and that word has been in use ever since 1812. So gerrymandering is manipulating district maps to make sure your party wins more seats. So that's the background. And we've been working for 10 years to help people understand what the issue is and help people understand why it matters. And the more we learn, the more we see it really matters much, much more than we ever imagined when we started.
Now, I'm a little embarrassed, Carol. I should know this. You mentioned Ms. Mascolo. I've heard her name. Republican or Democrat? I'm just curious.
She's a Democrat, but okay. She's a bit of a maverick Democrat. And the reason she got started on this was one of her own leaders told her to vote a certain way or they would draw her off the map. When she was a representative first, they told her that she needed to vote as she was told or they would draw her off the map. And she said, oh, yeah. And so she ran for Senate instead. And then people have been trying to draw her off the map ever since from both sides. And there are legislators in both chambers, in both parties, who have told me that their own leaders have told them, vote the way we tell you or we will draw you off the map. And so that's part of the issue, is the leaders are the ones in control, and they use that ability to draw district lines to control their own colleagues and to punish the other side, but also to punish the people in their own caucuses if they don't do as the leaders tell them.
All right, so the last redistricting here for Pennsylvania would have been 2021, because the 2020 census, all right, next
right.
year,
2021. Yep.
So yep. we've had it for 4 years or something now. Now, we're a radio show, so we can't put a graphic up on the screen to show what Pennsylvania's congressional districts look like and so on. Are we gerrymandered, Carol? I mean, is it... What state was that? Again, we were joking earlier in the show. Some state has a district that I said looks like a snake. My friend the Ironhead here said it looks like a certain body part. And so on.
I have a juvenile mind. What can I tell you? I'm sorry. That's what I saw.
He said it, not me. All right.
Let that go, but yeah. I would say back in, so our district lines, the ones that were drawn back in 2011, from 2011 to 20, the congressional map that we had in use in 2012, 2014, and 2016 was by every metric the worst in the country, the most gerrymandered in the country. And that map gave 13 Republican seats and 5 Democratic seats no matter what the election outcome was. So Democrats could win plus 55% of the vote share, and they would get their 5 seats. Republicans got 13. It was, by various metrics, the most gerrymandered in the country. And one of the districts from that time, people called Goofy Kicking Donald or Spin Art, it was considered one of the worst district lines ever seen. That was back then. Then there was a lawsuit in 2018. I don't know if people remember it. The League of Women Voters actually sued the state to say these districts deprive everybody of the right to elect their legislators. And so the PA Supreme Court took the case, heard expert testimony, looked at the data, and said, you know what? Yeah, the Constitution promises free and equal elections, and this map does not give anybody a free and equal election. So the court at that time went back to the legislature and said, you need to redraw the map. And the legislature said, we're not going to. So the court said, all right, and hired a special master who drew a new map. And that map gave 9 Republican, 9 Democratic seats in the next 2 elections. But then that map was redrawn again in 2021 because, as we just said, the census took place in 2020, and then the map had to be redrawn. The map that came out of the state legislature was better than the 2011 map, but much worse than the map that had come out of the court process in 2018. And Governor Wolf refused to sign it because the way that our congressional maps are done normally is as a bill, which comes through both chambers and then is signed by the governor. But the bill that they created would have given not 13-5, we had actually lost a seat, but it would have given probably about 11-6 in a 50-50 election. And Governor Wolf said, no, I'm not going to sign that. And again, so that went to the Supreme Court, and there were entities invited to submit maps, including the one that the legislature had passed. And the court chose the one that was the least changed from the previous, but also the most balanced. So actually, right now, Pennsylvania is one of the, by various metrics, our current congressional map is one of the most balanced in the country. And you can see that in the way that the past two elections played out. In the 2022 election, we ended up with 9 Democrats and 8 Republicans. In the 2024 election, we ended up with 10 Republicans and 7 Democrats. So that's a map that's responding to voters. If voters say, hey, we're going to lean red, that map leans red. If voters say we're going to lean blue, that map is going to lean blue. So we are currently not gerrymandered. And that's really thanks to the intervention of the PA Supreme Court.
Yeah, the only problem with that some of us see is that's actually not the Supreme Court's role in government. I get that it came, and this is one of the struggles that that many of us have is we have people that aren't doing their job, but then we have people who are doing the job who that's not under their list of responsibilities.
Right.
And it is just, it is very frustrating. And this isn't the only situation, but I mean, obviously what we're talking about this morning. I understand, and at the end of the day, if you ask me, yeah, does this map make some sense? Yeah, overall it does. Also, I don't like the fact that the Supreme Court, that is not their role. But getting folks to do the right thing, man, we just, on both parties, we just can't seem to get them to do that.
Carol, what do you think?
Well, you mentioned the budget as we were coming on. You know, you look at we constitutional, so the map. We have a constitutional, PA Constitution promises us free and equal elections. If the legislature says, well, we don't really care about that, we're going to give you a map that doesn't give you free and equal elections, the court has to step in. The budget, I've been looking at that and saying, well, we have a constitutional requirement for a budget to be passed by June 30th.
Yep.
The legislature hasn't done that. And you think, well, is there a place where, who steps in? Who on behalf of the people of Pennsylvania steps in? I've been puzzling over that because it's harming, as you said, it's harming every part of the state. When the legislature refuses to do their constitutional duty, what happens? And if the courts don't step in, who does? I don't really know. And we're seeing that with the budget.
Well, and listen, if we don't, the fact that there's no punishment for it is the problem. Do you think that if it was, and I get the people that need to write this law aren't going to write it, I get it, but do you not think that if the law was, hey, you have to do this by June 30th, if you don't, you lose pay. You do not get paid from that date moving forward until it is passed. Do you think we would have a budget passed by the 30th? Because I have a pretty strong suspicion.
You probably would.
Yeah, every year we would see it passed.
Yeah. I would love a bill that they can't leave the Capitol until, you know, once if June 30th hits and they haven't completed a budget, none of them can leave the Capitol until it's done. I mean, the fact that the Senate has only been in 3 session days since June 30th. To me, that's unbelievable that you have not completed a budget and you have been there 3 days.
Well, but in fairness, that's why we have a part-time legislature and only pay them as, wait, what?
Whoops.
What?
Back up.
That's not the case.
Let's back up. Let's back up.
Oh, you're getting me all kinds of fired
okay.
up.
Okay.
Right, so that's the biggest thing. I would say we have been trying hard to help people connect the dots between, so we have had decades of gerrymandered state legislative districts. We've had decades where the legislature does not actually answer to the people of Pennsylvania. The legislature answers to the leaders, the political leaders, the partisan leaders, as I said, who draw the district lines. And the more we learn, the more appalled we are, because the leaders draw district lines, they control the legislative agenda, they control the legislative budget, they control the state budget. When they say we are negotiating, what they mean is there's like maybe 3 from each chamber, the party leaders who are kind of talking to their donors and their lobbyists and kind of what do we want to do? But they're not actually talking to the people of Pennsylvania because they don't answer to the people of Pennsylvania. They answer to the people who draw the district lines and set the legislative agenda. And that's the problem.
Yes, and it even goes, I don't want to get too far astray here, but it even goes to the local level where we have
agreements with the party leaders, and it's like, hey, we won't run anybody against, like, we just won't run anybody from our party, so that you can keep that DA seat, but in exchange for that, you don't run anybody against our state representative over here. Folks, this is the stuff. I'm trying to keep myself calm. This is the stuff. It just drives me absolutely crazy because, and to your point, I do think we have had some very good people with really good intentions get elected, and then they get down there and they see, all right, your choice is you either stick to your guns and, by God, I'm going to fight for my principles, and you're irrelevant because you don't get on any of the committees that actually make the decisions, and your ideas get put on the back burner and assured that they won't see the light of day. They won't be brought to the floor because of exactly what you're saying, leadership saying that, well, no, you're not playing ball with us, or you make yourself relevant by compromising your principles. Now, I'm not, you know, there's compromising. Obviously, that's part of politics, and I think most of us would agree, yeah, that here and there you've got to do some compromise. But the problem is you have people who I think have some really great innovative ideas, and they want to, man, I'm just going to fight for it. And, yeah, well, then you're made to be irrelevant. And it's, so your choice is you either play. I want to be relevant. I want to get something through at some point. So you play the game. Or, yep, you stick by your principles and, man, you fight and you will never see the light of day. And that is somehow, some way, we have got to change that. It is why Pennsylvania is recognized as, if not the most corrupt, certainly one of the most corrupt state governments in the union.
All right, Carol, what do you think about all that?
Well, actually, so early on when I was trying to understand why redistricting was so important and why I would give, I'm a volunteer, but I work almost full time and have been doing this for 10 years. Early on, I tried to understand why does this matter? And I had a former legislator invite me for lunch, and she had run for office. She had served, I think, two sessions and had decided not to run again. And she wanted to talk to me about why this was important. And she did a, you know, kind of made a bridge with her hands and said, Carol, do you know what a keystone is? And I said, well, it is the keystone state. Yeah, I know what a keystone is. She said, gerrymandering is the keystone of corruption and control in Pennsylvania. And that has really stuck with me. And I was invited not long after that to lunch with three DAs, which I was a little alarmed. I was like, why are DAs wanting to talk to me? What they wanted to tell me was, gerrymandering is the foundation of a lot of corruption in Pennsylvania, and there are many, many people who know it. They can't solve any problems. They can't get anything done. And if they try, there's such a kind of toxic retribution from party leaders on both sides that there will be people who will be cheering you on, but they will never do anything to help you because they're afraid of the retribution. And I have found that to be true. I have found legislators who really believe we need to fix the way districts are drawn and we need to fix the flow of power that runs through the legislative process because of the way leaders control so much. But they are anxious about visibly supporting because of what can happen. Pennsylvania's legislature passes fewer bills than the part-time neighbors around us in two sessions. We passed fewer bills than they passed in 2 months. And, I mean, in 2 years, we passed less than they do in 2 months. Because our leaders will not let bills come to a vote that their donors don't want to happen. And they do not answer to their constituents. They answer to the big money that flows through their campaign coffers. And then they filter that money out to the people who do as they're told. It's toxic, it's troubling, and it hurts Pennsylvania. And you know, I think there's a couple of things that need to be fixed, but fixing redistricting is one of those things that has to be fixed.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Our guest is Carol Cunningham from Fair Districts Pennsylvania. Website, all one word, fairdistrictspa.com. A lot of information there, all right? Fair Districts. CentralPA.com. We've got some more questions for Carol. We'll see if we can get the Ironhead's blood pressure up anymore. All right. You're listening to Let's... There it goes. Yep. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Believe Mr. Bastardi will be joining us in the final segment of this morning's big show.
All right, again, we're talking with Carol Cunningham from Fair Districts, Pennsylvania. You know, whatever voting district you're in, if it's Congress or State Senate, State House, all that sort of stuff, the lines get carved up every number of years. Is that fair? All right. Again, the website, fairdistrictspa.com. Now, Carol, I went to your website. I'm going to quote a line from your website, and then I have a question. All right?
Okay.
There's a line that says, Fair Districts PA is advocating for an independent redistricting commission with a transparent public process and clear prioritized mapping standards. Now, Carol, I guess my first question is, can anything in politics really be independent? I mean, really? Yes or no? What do you say there?
There's levels of independence, and so letting party leaders draw their own district lines is not anywhere near independent, and letting citizens who have no vested interest, they're not benefiting, you know, financially or politically from those lines, and a balanced commission that has some from each major party and then some unaffiliated, and they're not appointed by the leaders, and they don't answer to the political leaders, and the political leaders don't get to vote on their map. That's far more independent. So I would say yes, it's possible to have something that's much more independent and much less politically motivated than our current process. And there have been studies on this. There's a couple states that have independent commissions. and they have had much better outcomes, much less litigation. I will say internationally, the really tragic thing in the U.S. is we can't even envision something that would be nonpartisan. But internationally, nobody, legislators, draw their own district lines. They have independent court commissions, or they've got, you know, administrative bodies that simply do this as a matter of you know, course. The kind of the international community watches the way that we draw our district lines. And says, that's crazy that you would let the people who are elected by those lines draw their own lines and draw lines for their colleagues. So yes, it's possible to have something far more independent than what we currently have.
Well, see, so Scott's wondering about the independence. I'm wondering if it's possible to have transparency. And actually, as I'm saying that, they're actually a lot more transparent than I think they even realize they're being at the end of the day, because we see what you're doing. And it is actually obvious. But transparency would be nice, and we get so little of it in terms of what is actually happening in Harrisburg. That yes, independence and transparency would be wonderful, but boy, I would love to see the process become actually more transparent.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Just this morning, NBC News came out with a report on they just did another major survey of folks about who do they think should be drawing district lines. Should the, you know, the lines be drawn by political leaders, or should they be done by a nonpartisan commission? And that number had been hovering somewhere, you know, between, you know, around 2/3 of voters approved, you know, basically said it should be an independent commission. And this one just rocketed up to 82%. So 82% in this most recent survey basically said a nonpartisan commission needs to be drawing the district lines. And the surveys that we did before, which were about 2/3%, people said because it allows for more accountability, in other words, the people you're electing are answering to voters instead of their political leaders, so you can hold them more accountable. It removes the conflict of interest where the people are drawing their own district lines. And that people in Texas and in California and across the country are saying, hey, we don't like this when political leaders just decide that they're going to draw the lines in ways that give a certain number of districts to their own party. That's nuts, and that needs to end.
All right, now
redistricting. Some people say, well, don't do any redistricting. Redistricting does need to be done after the census, because populations do shift, and the courts have said, you know, free and equal elections means populations need to be kept pretty even between districts. So those district lines do need to be drawn after the census, but they shouldn't be drawn just because somebody wants more districts for their party, and they shouldn't be drawn in a way that guarantees outcomes before you even have an election.
All right, now Texas, of course, has made big noise on this, and now California's making noise. And now I guess maybe a few other states are going to try to make noise. Now, Carol, if I'm right, these states, they're not breaking any laws. They're not breaking, in other words, what they're doing isn't illegal. If I'm correct, nobody's ever tried this before. Do I have that right, Carol?
Well, so different states have different rules. So California actually has an independent commission. And I think there's plenty of folks in California who are pretty unhappy with the idea that they're going to redraw the lines, because they put the independent commission in place with a citizen initiative back in 2010. So this is threatening to overturn their citizen initiative and their independent commission-drawn lines. So that has to go to a vote, and it's going to a vote this November. Texas doesn't go to a vote. They're just doing it. And other states have rules. So New York State, for instance, has a commission. It's not an independent commission. It's chosen by legislators, and legislators get to vote for the final outcome. But even in New York, they're saying, well, we can't legally redraw the lines right now. We would have to actually change our state constitution, which is a timely process. So different states have different rules, and there's certainly lots of states who are looking at this. And I will say one other word that I had not been familiar with, but I've come to really think a lot about this summer, is dummymander. And a dummymander is when you take the population, the voting majority that you want to have get more seats, but to get them more seats, you've got to spread those folks across more districts. And you can hit a point where you've spread your majority across too many districts, but even a slight wave from the other side can actually tank those districts that you're counting on. So there are Republican legislators in Texas right now looking at their new district map and saying, this could actually backfire badly. This could actually turn out to yield more Democratic seats than they already had because we might have created a colossal demimander. And I would say to anybody who's thinking about how do you get more seats for your party, do it the right way. You know, give the voters, help voters understand why things matter. Actually deliver to voters so that they vote for you. Because drawing your districts to try to get more and more districts for your party is actually good for the citizen of creating demimanders. And voters don't like it when you do that, when you draw districts to control outcomes without having to answer to them.
All right, Carol, I'm assuming you're on a cell phone because you're breaking up a little bit at your particular end there. So let's keep going. Hopefully we'll get that cleared up. Somebody pointed out, I don't know, weeks, months ago, that New England, all the states of New England, that would be Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Let's see, the six states, not one Republican member of Congress, not one, for six whole states. Now, I know there are Republicans that live in New England. They may be outnumbered a little bit, but there's a, I'd call it a significant number that live in that area. I don't care. Has anybody ever brought that up? I mean, there are six whole states in one block where there's not one Republican congressperson. That's now, granted, gerrymander. You mentioned Governor Jerry. That was the state of Massachusetts 200-whatever years ago. Does anybody ever bring that up? Because whenever I hear complaining from certain elements, like in the news, I just think about New England. I'm like, you can't have one Republican member in a six-state block? There's something wrong there. What am I missing here, Carol?
Well, so part of it has to do with population in the state. So, for instance, Vermont only has one congressional district. So congressional districts are apportioned based on population. So Maine only has two, New Hampshire only has two, Rhode Island only has two, Vermont only has one. So right there, if you have more than 50% Democrats, then you're only going to have, you know, one district, and it's going to have a Democratic delegate. The ones with two, you know, people say, well, look, 45% of the folks in Maine are Republican, 55 are Democratic, so you should end up with one and one. Well, that depends on where people live. And for most of New England, it's not some states, you know, like New York State, the Democrats tend to be very, very, very heavily concentrated in New York City, and much of the rest of the state is Republican. Throughout New England, it's very, very interspersed. So you can't say, okay, we're gonna draw it this way and we'll end up with one Democratic and one Republican district. If you draw the districts in ways that make sense for the state in terms of where people live, you end up with, you know, a slight majority Democrat, a slight minority Republican in both districts just because of the way people live. So I actually saw some discussion. Massachusetts is an interesting one because Massachusetts has nine congressional districts. And all of them are Democratic, and so that was a question. Wait a second. There's got to be Republicans in Massachusetts. There have been people who've tried to draw districts to give Republicans a district, and they say, well, you can do it, but you're going to have these crazy, snaky districts going all over the place, and people are going to look at that and say, that's gerrymandered. So it really depends on where people live, and it also depends a lot on how many districts the state has. Places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, they only have one district. So they just in those places it's Republican, but it really depends on the number, and it also depends where people live.
All right, now Carol, we got about 2 minutes left. I've seen multiple stories. Is Pennsylvania going to try this maneuver that Texas is doing? The stories I've seen, Carol said no. Or this mid-decade relining and so on, is that accurate? Is that what you're hearing? We're not going to try this maneuver, are we?
Well, we really can't because we have a divided legislature. We have Republicans control the Senate, Democrats control the House. We have a Democratic governor. So there's not the political opportunity that one party could gerrymander the other party. That's not going to happen. And I would say, though, we're trying to get an independent commission bill passed before the next redistricting in 2031, because the truth is nobody knows what's going to happen. What's going to happen with the Supreme Court? What's going to happen with the governor's seat? What's the majority going to be in either chamber in 2031? I think both parties are hoping that they're the ones who will be in control and they can gerrymander the other side. We'd say, hey, let's fix this so that neither party gerrymanders the other party. But right now, politically, there's really not the opportunity to try to swing it in either direction, and we are fortunate in that regard.
Final question, Carol, for your group, Fair Districts PA. What's on your agenda, I guess, for the immediate future? What are you folks concentrating on right now?
Well, we have two bills, House Bill 31, Senate Bill 131. The number 31 is because the next redistricting will be in 2031. So House Bill 31, Senate Bill 131, we're asking legislators to co-sponsor them. We're asking both chambers to give those bills a vote. They would need to pass by the end of June this in 2026 and then go through the legislature again with the same language and then go to citizen referendum to change our redistricting process.
Well, Carol, I'll tell you what, we appreciate your time once again this morning. We're going to keep debating this. I get the feeling this one's not going away. No. So appreciate your time. Again, the website, fairdistrictspa.com. Carol, appreciate your time again. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right. Folks, keep following this. They're making noise in other parts of the country. Probably not here for the reasons that Carol just mentioned, but still, it's going to come up. All right. We're going to take a break. We will come back. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports.
The Fox.
We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Ryan Rackley here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley, 98.7 The Fox.
Pellets. Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Dear caller, did you hold through the break? You're on Let's Talk. You did not. Well, you almost had a magical moment there. That magic moment now awaits you as we open the phone line back up at 814-954-7266. You can now call in and join the big show this morning. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, cannot join us this morning. Will join us on Wednesday in his normal time slot at 9:40. So we'll talk with Joe on Wednesday morning at 9:40, but some extra open phone time here. Again, 814-954-7266 if you want to weigh in. Some discussion, again, Lamar Jackson, a fan kind of pushed him, in fairness first.
Yes.
Then Lamar pushes back. I do think that the league needs to take this seriously, and I think a one-game suspension, but I would defer, I would defer that punishment until, like, I don't know. I would just randomly I'd wait until like December and have him serve a one-game suspension. I think you kind of just randomly December 7th. Let's just have him serve a one-game suspension.
Gee, who do they play?
For the pushing, huh?
Who do they play?
Oh, I don't even know. Let me look here. What is their schedule?
I think you're fibbing.
Home against a division rival. Oh, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers are visiting Baltimore on December 7th. That's weird. I was just picking a random date. Huh. Wow. But I think picking a random date like that, specifically December 7th, would be the appropriate punishment for pushing the fan last night.
I was actually going with you for a while until you got to that part.
Huh? what are you saying?
Like, wait a minute. Yeah, once again, the Steelers and Ravens play twice inside a month.
Yes.
At
the end of the year.
Whoever makes the schedule, wow. I mean, so you've already played two-thirds of your games, and then the Steelers and Ravens play twice. Mm-hmm. Go figure. What should happen to the fan last night? What should happen to that guy? Guy was in a red shirt.
Yeah.
What happens to the guy in the red shirt? He was a Buffalo fan. He gets kicked out of the stadium, like, forever. What should happen to the guy in the red shirt?
Good question. We can't have... There's just way too much of this going on. And it's... Players, fans alike, we're not understanding our rules. We had another spitting incident, a college game, Florida and South Florida. Way to go, South Florida, by the way. Good heavens. South Florida gets the upset, but we had another in a college game, a spitting incident. And again, same thing. First of all, yes, it is extremely disrespectful and just wrong. Like, don't do it. But also, if you are going to do it, hey, morons, they keep waiting until the official gets right in front of them. It's like, again, don't do it, period. But if you're going to do it, you don't wait until the official... In both of these instances, it's like, all right, wait, is the official right next to me? Okay. Ha! Patooey! And it's like, well, now you're going to get ejected, moron. Like, not only is it an awful, despicable act, but how stupid do you have to be in both cases? It's been like, all right, it's the official right next to me, has a very clear line of sight now. All right, here I go. Well, you're not going to get away with that. We've got to – if you are a fan, you can – make noise. You can try to distract opponents. You can cheer your team on. Stop with the even verbally, the personal, low life insults. Again, you can, hey, you bum, get out of here. I'm okay with that. But man, some of the stuff, it's like, guys, you got to know your place. You cannot be touching the players. That should be, now, Lambeau Leap, they're coming up to you. Yes, I want to be clear that it's not, you can never have any contact with a player. Obviously, if the player is jumping up, it's part of the culture, you can pat. Although, in the world we're living in, I do worry. One of these times, you're going to get a non-Green Bay fan in there, and you're going to have somebody do something unbelievably stupid. I mean, I'd like to say, no, come on. I go back to the Monica Seles incident, folks. I've seen real stupidity.
What was that?
Well, she got stabbed
at
tennis match. I don't know. You just got to know your place and respect. There's just a lack of respect across the board. We're just seeing it way too much. Not just in sports, just in society. Just relax. Not everything has to be end of the world. Man, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I don't know. The road rage incidents, it seems, maybe we're just getting them reported more. I know there's more cameras out there. And so maybe the spitting in football has always been a thing. And because we have more cameras everywhere and because these morons are waiting until the official is right next to them to do it, it's getting more play. I don't know. But man, it feels like we just are seeing a real uptick in just a lack of civility, a lack of treating other people decently. You know, that incident with the foul ball in Philadelphia that is getting a lot of play. If you haven't seen it, and I presume the overwhelming majority of you have now, but it has made its rounds and then some on social media. But there is a father that runs over a home run ball, I think it was, right? Yes. Not a foul ball. Home run ball.
Yes.
Father runs over. The ball bounces in front of a couple of fans. Father goes up, grabs the ball. It ends up being his son's birthday, so he comes over, gives the son the ball. Actually, LeVar and company were talking about this morning, and they had the take that the father should not have relinquished the baseball. They were saying it was lack of masculinity on the father's part. I completely disagree. I think, well, first of all, it ends up being really good for the kid. So, the woman, a so-called Karen, poor Karens. I have a cousin, Karen. I wish we would not have picked that name. Cause I know, honest to God, all of the Karens I know are, like, I am not kidding. They are wonderful people. Like, they are the best of the best. I know at least, well, four that come to mind, including my cousin, and my cousin is, you're just not going to get a better person. But the so-called Karen comes over. You took that ball from me. Well, no, you didn't grab the ball. That was your choice. But I actually think the father does the right thing because she is just talking up and creating a scene. And he's like, oh, for God's sake, here, take the ball. Jeez, I mean, it's a baseball. I got it for my kid. My kid was all excited. Well, fortunately, the Marlins and the Phillies both end up stepping up. The Marlins provide all kinds of merch for the kid, but then he ends up getting to meet and get signed stuff from the Phillies. It ends up being a great situation for the kiddo and the father. This woman now is being vilified, and they had misidentified her as this poor school teacher in New Jersey who had nothing to do with it. And the school actually put out a very funny statement, like, if this was one of our employees, they would have reached out and grabbed it bare hand. We wouldn't have had any of this. It's very funny. But the woman that some are making... she was misidentified. It's like, you can see there's a resemblance, but the woman that the people were like, yeah, that's so-and-so, that so-and-so has stepped out and said, I wasn't there. It's not me. It's just not me. And people are working to identify her. I also, can we just ease off? What she did was ridiculous, childish, and for God's sake, when you see that it's going to a kid, that is when, even if you think you are in the right, even though she was in the wrong, even if you think you're in the right, you see the kid as happy as can be, that's where you say to yourself, self, even if I'm wronged here, the result is, man, a really happy kid over here. I'll just take myself sheepishly back to my seat and not make a scene. Instead, I don't even know etiquette in a baseball game, and so I'm going to show my ignorance and demand that you give me the ball. Okay. But also, do we really need to identify her and ruin her life over this? Anytime these things occur, yes, it's awful. She has been vilified many times over now on social media. Somewhere, family members are looking at her, and it's like, oh, God, why would you do that? We don't need to actually ruin her life over this either. Again, all of us have had moments. We just have. All of us, every single person listening right now, and God knows I've had many, where you have that moment and it's like, oh, God dang it, why did I handle that that way?
Yep.
That was stupid. And you regret it. It's whatever it may be. I can name a gazillion different circumstances, and it's like, all right, yeah, I was having a bad day. I took it out on a person that had nothing to do with it. Why would I do that? If our worst moment, whatever your worst moment is, man, that's splashed all over the place, and I don't know if this was this woman's worst moment. Not the point. I'm saying we all have moments where it's like, oh, God, why would I do that? If that is the moment that ends up defining you, right, that's an awful, awful thing to have. So can we just ease off on trying to identify her? It's been played all over the place. There are people that obviously know who she is. I'm sure she is getting plenty of unwanted attention. Again, I get it. She brought it on herself. But also, come on. Like, this is the kid ended up winning the day in a big way. Can we just ease off on, well, we've got to hold her publicly accountable, identify her, shame her over and over. Again, there are really bad things happening out here in our country. Should she have done what she did? No. Have I seen worse transgressions pretty much on a daily basis? Yeah. Yeah. Let's ease off on the, man, we're just going to publicly shame and vilify her and hold her accountable and make sure this isn't just the worst moment, that this becomes the worst month, year, decade of her life. No, just, all right, it was stupid. It was a bad look, and she shouldn't have done it. Move on. The kid ends up getting a lot of great merchandise, yeah, ends up getting a very memorable night out of it in a good way. She got the baseball. Yes.
All done.
Horribly hit.
Yeah.
Can we just all?
All done.
For the love of God, can we just all move on now?
One other quick thing. I agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
Folks, we need to keep this in mind. There are cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everybody who has a smartphone, which is essentially everybody, has a camera.
Yeah.
There are cameras in stadiums. There are cameras on city streets. There are cameras everywhere. If you do something, there's a good chance you're going to get on camera for it, and then you're going to get dragged through the mud.
Thank God we did not have cell phones when I was in college. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Bad optics.
Stay out of trouble. Enjoy your Monday, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox Sports.